Hey guys, it's Trish again from Flights of Fancy Podcast. I just want to touch base with you before we get into today's episode. It has been a while since you guys have heard from us. As everybody is well aware, the world has gone nutty and sideways. So we haven't really had much of an opportunity to record personally in the past 6 months. We had a major death in the family. I moved houses. There was a lot going on. Kate went back, was in school doing all of her stuff. It's just been kind of nuts. And then coronavirus happened and we weren't able to see each other very often. So we're getting on the long distance recording as we speak so that we can figure out how that works and start actually making episodes again on a regular basis. As you know, she lives over an hour and a half away from me, so getting together all the time is not always an option. But luckily with, you know, all of the social distancing recording, we've started to get better ability to actually record from a distance. So cross your fingers, hopefully by this time next week, we'll have another couple episodes up for you so you can be rolling with us. But enjoy the episode. The sound is a little off because it was recorded in my podcast tent in my tile room. As you might notice from this recording, I have a much better setup now. So future episodes should not be so noisy. Thanks, and I'll talk to you guys again soon. Okay, are you ready to start?
Sure.
I suppose. This is adult blanket fort.
You know what, though? The fact that I had all of the shit to make a blanket fort in my house makes me happy.
Yeah. Should I bring extra blankets next time?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on with the roof of this, but, like, it's fine.
It'll be okay. Sheet. It's doing its best, considering.
I like the giant pink blanket and then the Christmas blanket on the other side. It makes it for a very really technicolor experience. There's also no light in here, but that's fine, because we have laptops, and that just
works. Mean, I spend a lot of my time illuminated solely by the glow of my laptop.
Same.
It sustains me.
Every night of my life, that's what I do.
It sustains me. Oh my god, shout out to your husband for this beautiful blanket fort.
Yeah, like, amazing. I'm very impressed with his ingenuity at short notice.
Yeah, he does good.
There's, like, a nice cool breeze coming in under the short part of the blanket.
Yeah, a bit.
It's actually probably a good thing.
Made sure the AC's on.
Yes.
Sorry, there's, like, a thread coming off of my shorts. Okay.
All right.
Now then, I guess we should actually start the intro for this episode.
For sure.
All right, guys, welcome to Flights of Fancy, your local drunken mythology podcast. We are day drinking, and it's pretty great today.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yes.
Who doesn't like day drink?
Mimosas on a Sunday is, like, the dream, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Or champagne.
I'm just drinking champagne, because I don't have time for juice.
I like mimosas. I can't do straight champagne. I don't know why. But, yes. Champagne on Sundays. That's what it's for.
I agree.
Delicious. Yay. Anyways.
Yes. Well, we get a good clink if we do this.
Oh, yeah, we would. Ready? Lovely. Mm. Anyways,
Shout out to my former coworker, Deshaun, who brought a bottle of bubbly to my house and forgot it and left it here.
Nice.
He brought it because he was visiting and I fed him, and he just left it. And now it's my bottle of bubbly, and I drink.
And we're drinking it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Flights of Fancy, your friendly local day drinking today podcast. I'm Kate.
I'm Trish.
And today we're going to be talking to you about some really stupid, tragic deaths.
Yeah.
Hence the day drinking, I guess.
Oh, well, you know.
And I mean, also, it was like 3 in the morning when we stopped last night.
Yeah.
So we were like, we'll just drink in the morning. It's fine.
It's cool. We'll be fine.
It's Sunday. Sunday is for champagne.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always down to drink champagne on a Sunday. Like, brunch is my favorite thing.
Brunch is pretty solid. So, yes, we'll today be talking to you about some stupid, obnoxiously tragic deaths, because, I don't know, we just live for the drama, I guess.
I know, yeah, honestly.
I think we actually both chose some Norse ones today, so that's fun.
Yeah.
And, as always, I will be going first.
Yep. It's because she gets drunker faster.
I know, but I'm adorable, so it's fine. I will be telling everybody the story of the death of Balder, that poor bastard.
Yeah.
Okay, so, as a little background, once again, we find ourselves in the world of Norse mythology. As I may or may not have mentioned before in my Loki and Sleipnir story, Norse mythology is actually, like, from a historical perspective, kind of weird because we don't have direct written accounts of a lot of it.
because it was an oral tradition. Mm-hmm. And so what we do have, like, obviously was handed down from teller to teller. There's a specific word that I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. So it was passed down basically from, like, epic poet to epic poet throughout the centuries until a lot of it was compiled in the 13th century into the Poetic Edda, which is the anonymous stuff, mm-hmm. Which is all these different epic poems of the mythology. And then there's also, in that same time period, a politician all-around Norse dude named Snorri Sturluson mm-hmm. wrote the Prose Edda.
Yes.
Based on these stories, but again, this is like a bit removed from the original source. Yeah. The problem with that is that a lot of this stuff, while being written down in the 13th century AD, or CE, rather, mm-hmm. I like CE better. So despite being written down in 13th century CE, there's a lot of stuff from the pre-Christianization and post-Christianization of the area, mm-hmm. which means there may have been alterations or changes to these stories due to this Christian influence.
Oh, yeah, it's like,
we don't have any proof in any direction, though.
Well, it's like the three versions of Beowulf that have been found. Because the original version is much different than the Christianized version that, you know, we know
we're more familiar with.
Are forced to read, even though it's terrible.
In high school, I fucking hated Beowulf. I think, like, I skimmed the Spark Notes.
I read the entire thing. I just read it fast because the book's only, like,
Was so not into it. I just skimmed. Yeah.
But the problem with those, with the Christianized versions of all of the Norse myths, is that they get this moralistic tint to them that's just really, like, obvious.
And also has nothing to do with the story, moral concepts or the stories of the Norse people, because it's imposing these Christian values onto it.
Exactly. Like, there are so many Norse myths about, like, females, like women.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Norse have actually a pretty great history, great track record.
Of equality.
And equality, and, you know, how they treat people. And you can always tell when it's one of those Christianized versions of a story, because usually it will somehow turn the story into some sort of moralistic thing about how the woman should have stayed in her place and kept her house and just, you know, shut her fucking mouth.
Oh, you mean like the story of Brisingamen?
Mm-hmm.
I love Freya. She's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Goddess of love and war and death and shit.
Goddess of a lot of things.
Goddess of a lot of things. Magic. Whatever. That's another one we could get into another day, and I probably will at some point.
I kind of skim it in my story.
So, because of this, like, weird Christian influence that may or may not have changed some of the stories a bit, there's a lot of really weird academic debate in general around Norse mythology.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no clear-cut answer on whether Freya and Frigga are the same or different beings. Because Freya and Frigga do sound a lot alike. Yes. They have a very similar domain. And Freya's husband is named Odr versus Frigga's husband, Odin. So there is a possibility that we just have different names for the same thing. It's really weird.
Yeah. I mean, entirely likely.
It's hard to tell because short of a time machine or finding some new document that we've never found before, it's just, you know, what it's going
to
be.
Also, it could literally just come down to pronunciation and region. Yeah. The same way that any myth does.
Yeah. And it could be things, you know, as a group expands and absorbs other tales from other groups into their religion.
And it turns into
a thing.
And it evolves eventually, and it goes from one thing to the other.
Yeah.
It's
like Zeus and his girlfriends.
Well, I was just going to say, it's why, you know, Greek mythology tends to be a lot more concise.
Yeah.
Because almost all of those cultures where the stories are from and where they spread all wrote.
Yeah.
So even, like, in the case of, like, Io, because North Africa, they wrote. The Middle East, they wrote. And Greece, they wrote.
Yeah.
So they all have versions of the same story, so you can kind of put them together and realize, okay, these things overlap.
Yeah. And even though there is a strong oral tradition even in these cultures,
absolutely,
they also wrote shit down at a certain point before it got all funky.
Yeah.
Probably. Well,
they wrote all of their stuff down in the pre-Roman expansion and then in the pre-Christian expansion. So, like,
so we have a better concept. It might be a little different than the original, like, centuries prior, but
it's closer to the original to than
we can prove Norse's.
Exactly.
But yeah, so the other thing is that since it wasn't written down for so long, it's a little more difficult, and so there is also a lot of academic comparison to get concepts to other contemporaneous Germanic mythologies.
Exactly.
Because it helps us figure it out because it's all in the same region and language.
And a lot of the Germanic myths are heavily influenced by The Norsemiths, because there's a lot of interplay between those regions. The Celts of, you know, of Germany, France, and that just general giant Gallic area, they had a lot of trading and interplay with the Norse and with the northern climes. Yep. And it's a thing. It's fine.
But so basically, Norse mythology is kind of messy, but it's really interesting still. And that's about it for the fun, overly educational part of this production.
It's good to know.
But yes, this is good to know and keep in mind when you're learning about mythology.
Exactly, because one of the things that I think we're only really thinking about and finding out in this modern world is the level of trade and interplay that all of these cultures had with each other throughout the centuries. And you find things from, you know, Norway and Sweden in Greece. Because that's all one giant connected landmass.
Archaeology is doing its shit. Anthropology, major.
Exactly. So, like, you have to understand the concept that some of these stories aren't going to be familiar because these stories are being traded across one giant connected landmass.
Yeah.
And therefore have common threads.
Yeah. Again, you also have to consider the concepts of some stories are sort of universal because there are things that we're always trying to understand.
Absolutely.
Also, please ignore the corgi barking.
Yeah, that's my dog. She is probably being played with and got tired and was like, nah, stop it.
Or she isn't getting played with enough.
And is like, love me.
It's like, hey, love me.
Either is completely possible and entirely likely.
Anyways, so now then, having given a fun little history and anthropological perspective, let's get started on the actual story.
Heyo.
So, once upon a time.
A long, long time ago.
In a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack.
Oh my god. I did not even mean to start that, but like, alright, it's fine. It's cool.
I know Thanks too much of that song still.
Same. It's just stayed in my brain forever.
So, once upon a time, Baldur, the son of Odin and Frigga, the chiefest of gods, those two, was a beautiful and shining and perfect beacon of goodness and light. Like, that's literally, he was so good and pure. Too good for this world. Like, perfect cinnamon roll over here. Like, he is a pure and gentle and wise god, and he's just literally the best possible. That's, like, a whole thing. One night, he's sleeping in his bed next to his wife, and he has this nightmare of his own death, which is fucking unheard of in Asgard. Death doesn't come to Asgard. That's, like, a whole thing. So he dreams that he fucking dies and flips a shit, freaks out.
Suitably, yes.
I mean, yeah. And so he goes to Odin and Frigga, and the Council of the Aesir, and nobody can figure out what's going on with all that, because, again, unheard of in Asgard. And so Frigga obviously freaks the fuck out, because she's super-duper scared of her perfect pure boy dying, which, valid.
Yeah.
So she goes on a quest of sorts. She goes to all of the elements, all the metals in the world, every shrub, every tree, every bird, every beast, like, every single thing in the world, to have them swear on their word never to harm Baldur. So she's kind of trying to do this as fast as possible to make sure he doesn't die, and she notices, but doesn't think too much of it, that she misses one thing in the entirety of existence.
Mm-hmm.
Mistletoe.
Oh.
It's not that she forgets it. It's just that, like, she goes past it, and it's, like, it's just a little shrub, and it looks so frail and delicate, and it's got these little waxy white berries and thin branches, and it's tucked away beneath, it is, and it's, like, tucked away beneath the branches of an oak tree, and so it's so frail and young, and, like, that's one of the things, is that it's so young that she doesn't feel like she needs to get it, its word, because it's, like, a child plant, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so off she goes back to Asgard, feeling so much better, though. And so that night, the gods are all hanging out and having a party, and they keep throwing weapons and shit at Baldur and cheering, because nothing kills him, it just all bounces off. They throw axes and knives and chopping him with swords, and it all just boings off.
Hilarious.
Loki, though.
Asshole.
Is a pissy little shitlord.
What a dick.
He kind of is, sometimes. He's a trickster. He does his thing.
Most of the time.
He's often a bit of a dick. But yes, Loki.
Book.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Sorry, my leg was falling asleep and I had a muscle spasm.
I get that.
All at once. It was bad. It was bad. It was a scary moment for me, too.
Oof. But yeah, so Loki, because he's a pissy little shitlord, is jealous AF. of little precious baby Balder, who's actually not a baby, by the way. He's a grown man with a wife.
Yes.
Like, he's a full grown man, but I, yeah. And so, yeah, Loki is pissed. So he disguises himself as an old, old lady and goes and chats with Frigga at this party. And he finds out from her that she didn't get Mistletoe's promise to not never harm Balder. Because, again, it was so young.
Yeah.
She didn't feel it was necessary or fair to ask a, basically, child to swear a binding oath.
You know, I feel
so
like the
overwhelming...
Yeah, respect.
Respect, like, for that contract law?
But, like, also, at the same time, I feel like the Aesir and the Vanir should know better by this point in their lives to just not give out voluntary information, because 99.9% of the time, that's Loki, and he has some shenanigan planned.
Well, he's like, so I hear you swore everything, and she's like, yeah, totes. He's like, but everything? And she's like, I mean, I guess I miss Mistletoe.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. And so, you know, now having this information, Loki hatches a scheme. As he does. Loki. Okay, so meanwhile, while Frigga is off handling this aspect, Odin hops on Sleipnir. Remember Sleipnir. Mm-hmm. Hops on Sleipnir because he is also worried as fuck, which, like, valid. You just heard from your son he's gonna fucking die out of nowhere. And so Odin just, like, moseys on down to Niflheim, Realm of the Dead, ruled over by Hel, to consult with the seeress Angerboda, who is a consort or wife of Loki, mother of Hel, and Fenris.
Yes.
And
the other one.
Jormungandr.
Thank you. The snake. Yeah.
The snake.
I was like, I know big it's snake. Hel, the wolf, the snake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, like, Hel, Fenrir, and the other one that I have trouble pronouncing.
But yeah, so he goes down to consult with Angerboda, because she's also a very powerful seeress.
Mm-hmm.
And so, by the way, though, he raises her from the fucking dead to talk to her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, she's fucking sleeping, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, wake the fuck up, like, fucking running around. Y'all don't get no sleep, because y'all... I didn't get no sleep because y'all ain't get no sleep because me.
Yep.
But yeah, he raises her from the fucking dead to ask her some questions, by the way.
Yes.
But yeah, so when he's looking for Angerboda, though, when he arrives in Niflheim, he finds this, like, huge, fantastic feast being set up. And he's like, what the fuck is going on? So he raises Angerboda from the dead, and he asks her 4 questions, by the way. That's a very specific thing. So the first question he asks her is, what is this feast for? Who is this for? What is going on here? And Angerboda is like, yo, it's for Balder, struck down by his blind brother Holder's hand. And Odin is freaking out, Holder being another son of Odin.
Yes.
And so, like, he asks another question. I think it's like, oh, will he be avenged? And it's like, yeah, another son of yours will kill Holder, basically. And then he asks, can we do anything to save Balder? And she's like, if everyone and everything in the world mourns for Balder, he'll come back to life. No strings attached.
Cool. Okay.
And so Odin, that was 3 questions. Mm-hmm. So Odin asks his 4th question, which is, who wouldn't mourn for Balder? And that is what makes Angerboda go, motherfucker, you're Odin. Piss off, ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Piss off, ghost.
Yep.
And so she swears to never be awoken or speak again until the day Loki is freed from his imprisonment at Ragnarok.
Okay.
And refuses to answer him, obviously. So yeah, she's basically like, I'm so fucking angry that literally I will never speak until the end of the day. Until the end of days.
Yep.
Which, like, respect, bitch.
I mean, doesn't she spend the majority of her time with Loki
in
his imprisonment? Like, yeah.
Holding bowls to catch some of the venom. But yes. So she's like, I will never speak again, basically. And so that's that. And Odin, obviously, is freaking out.
Yes.
And so he heads up back to Asgard and sees Balder is fine. And he's like, whoo!
Big sigh.
Big sigh of relief. And so Odin is now, like, up there at the party and, like, drinking to forget, basically. Trying to forget what he saw. He's like, I didn't see that. This is everything's fine because he's not dead, so it's all good. Everything's gonna be fine, right? And he joins the party.
Yes.
Meanwhile, though, having gained this lowdown on Mistletoe, Loki has gone off to find the Mistletoe.
Yeah.
Takes a branch from it and sharpens it into either a spear or an arrow, depends on the telling.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, gets a branch, sharpens it to a point. He finally gets back up to Asgard, and wow, they're still fucking partying. Gross.
Mm-hmm.
And so Loki, with his shaft, arrow, spear, whatever, of mistletoe.
Piece of mistletoe.
Moseys on over to Hodor. Not Hodor. Hodor.
Oh, yeah, Hodor.
It's more Hodor.
Yeah, it's fine.
Moseys on over to Hodor, the blind god and brother of Baldur. And it's like, yo, why aren't you joining in on the throwing shit at him brigade? It's so fun. And Hodor's just like, well, as you may fucking know, I'm blind as shit. So I decided that might be a bad idea. And Loki's just like, okay, so how about let me help you throw some shit at him? Like, it'll be fun. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And so he puts the spear, is the version I'm used to. So he puts the spear in Hodor's hand and, like, ghost style, turns him in the right direction, helps him throw it. Fucking bullseye. Baldur falls dead to the ground.
Yep.
Makes sense. Yeah. And there's just, like, a fucking... Everyone's in shock. There's just fucking pause for a second because what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, for real.
And then the lamentations immediately begin.
Mm-hmm.
Odin sends his son, Hermodr,
mm-hmm.
who is also the messenger of the gods. He rides for 9 days and nine nights to Niflheim, to ask Hel herself if there's anything they can do to bring Baldur back to the world. Mm-hmm. And Hel is like, listen, okay, fine. If every single thing in the world mourns for Baldur, I will let him go back with you to Asgard and he'll be alive again and it'll be fine. And her mother's like, okay, great, can fucking do. So he rides back up, lets everybody know what's up. And so Frigga goes around, gets every single thing in the world to mourn for Baldur. Except this fucking giantess. Her name is, I want to say Tok. I didn't write it down, actually.
Mm.
But also, it's fucking Loki, disguised as a giantess. And she's basically like, I have no love for Baldur. Why would I cry for him? She with big air quotes.
Yes.
So, but yeah, so Loki's basically like, fuck Baldur. I don't even like him. Obviously, Baldur can't come back.
Yes, because not everything is
not mourning him. Yes. Because Loki's a shitlord and was jealous as fuck of how good and pretty and shiny Baldur was.
Yes.
And so, yeah, Loki in disguise is like, nah, fuck that. And everyone's like, we know it's you, you bitch. And chase him off. He turns into a fish, and that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
And so they... So everyone else, because they're like, well, Baldur is not coming back to life, they go down to his funeral pyre and acknowledge that he won't be returning until the end of days, when the world is... When the universe ends and is reborn, which is a very important part of the Norse mythological cycle. Mm-hmm. This cycle of death and rebirth.
Yes.
But yes, he will basically not return until the world starts over. And he is forever this bright and beautiful shining god stuck in the dank caves of the underworld, essentially. Yep.
Well, he only has to wait until Ragnarok.
Yeah,
well,
the end. We'll
see how long that goes.
So yeah, the fucking end. As far as pop culture junk, there isn't a ton to say here. It doesn't get, like, crazy referenced in a ton of things. The best I've got, which is spoilers for American Gods... Like, the universe of American Gods, fun fact. If you aren't, like, up on... If you didn't finish the book and then read some of the short stories, this is a spoiler. But Shadow Moon's first name, like, his real first name, isn't Shadow. It's actually Baldur.
Yep.
Which a lot of people don't know because it's not in the book. It's in one of the short stories.
Kind of makes sense why Mr. Wednesday is so,
Well, Mr. Wednesday's his dad.
Exactly.
And so, like, this is...
That's what I'm saying. It makes sense when you know that you're like, yeah, you know why Mr. Wednesday is so invested in making sure that Shadow remembers, or Shadow does what he
believes
needs to do, rather.
And does what he needs to do and ties himself to the tree and everything else. Yes. So yeah, fun fact, Shadow Moon's real name is Baldur, and that's why. And yeah, that's pretty much it on that front. That there is the death of Baldur.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, it's one of those fucked up Norse stories that you're just sort of like, you get through it and you're like,
well, that was a bummer.
Cool, I guess. But, like, also, wow, sucks to be you.
The Norse gods have a weird time, and, yeah, Loki's also just, like, Loki isn't a bad guy.
No, he's just...
He's just...
Opportunistic.
Opportunistic. He's a trickster. He's a wheeler-dealer, as it were. Valid and important for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's valid and important as a trickster archetype.
So, keeping in the vein of Norse mythology, because if you're going to talk about weird deaths, like, there you go.
Yeah, they do a lot. A lot of weird shit happens over there.
Today, we're going to talk about Kvasir.
Mm.
Which is one of my favorite stories, just because of the concept of Kvasir.
Oh, he also, he gets mentioned, sorry, this is...
Yeah.
In, one of the Magnus Chase.
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's at the end of my fucking story.
Yeah, sorry. That's, oh yeah, also...
Anyway.
Oh, I guess it's a bit late to mention that, but also Baldur doesn't really show up in the Magnus Chase books.
No, because he's dead.
Because he's fucking dead!
Yeah. He's mentioned in,
Well, yeah.
Thor. No. They have a weird thing where it's like a statue of Baldur, and he's mentioned as, like, I forget what it is. Or is it a different Baldur? Regardless, doesn't really matter. Because I'm pretty sure they say that Baldur's the father of Odin in Thor, which is not the case. But, like, it could just be a mispronunciation or just,
He doesn't show up really in the films unless it's a reference very much in passing.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a reference very much in passing. It's, like, it's a whole thing. Anyway, doesn't matter. Not the point. So, today, I'm going to talk about Kvasir, because Kvasir is an interesting story. So, first off, I'm going to get this out of the way. I personally find Norse mythology very fucking weird, but also super fucking fascinating.
Don't we all?
Like, I read it, and I'm like...
How?
What? And then I'm like, but no, I have to read the four other versions of the story, because I have to know.
Yeah.
So, this happens every time I do this.
It's a mood.
So, the story of Kvasir begins at the end of the Aesir-Vanir War.
Right.
The Aesir-Vanir War is one of those things that starts because there's two major groups of gods in Norse mythology, the Aesir and the Vanir, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And Freya, who is a Vanir.
Yep. With her brother Frey.
Yes, with her brother Frey, but goes to Asgard and is like, yo, look at how good at magic I am. Like, basically, because she's the best
she
at magic.
She is a god. And it's like... that's one of her domains, is magic.
But it's not just magic, it's like... the Seder. Most complex, like...
The Seder.
Kind of... Yeah, the Seder, but, like, it's the most complex, most kind of scary, intense magic.
Yeah.
And the Aesir are like, whoa, basically.
That's why Odin hangs himself from a tree, so he can learn it.
Exactly. And the Aesir are like, oh, man, I want to be able to do magic like that. Like, that's literally their entire thing.
Yeah.
So they get really fucking into it and, like, are just hounding Freya for her fucking secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they get to this point where they feel like their greed about her powers are damaging their ethics. Not seeing the flaw inherent in the argument. They're like, oh, man, we need this magic and we're, like, really, like, we have to get it. We need it. Like, it's a thing. And they're like, this is making us into terrible people and making us ignore our ethical code.
And it's all your fault, Freya.
It's all your fault, Freya. So.
Ooh, hey, there's that Christianization. Ooh.
Exactly. So they try to kill her or decide to kill her.
My fave bad bitch.
Yes.
I love Freya.
So they kill her three times, like, literally set her on fire and she rises from the ashes.
Yeah, she's
every
badass.
Time. And it doesn't really work because all it really succeeds in doing is piss off the Vanir.
Yeah.
And it leads to this weird sort of, like, spy versus spy style war of one-upmanship between the two groups of gods. To the point where it gets, like, just so bad that they're like, oh god, I'm fucking tired of this.
Like, this is silly, y'all.
So, they call a truce. This leads to this hostage exchange where some Aesir go to Vanaheim and some Vanir go to Asgard. Spoiler alert, the ones that go to Vanaheim don't really fare well.
Well, maybe they shouldn't have been shitlords.
So, Hainir and Mimir go to the Vanir and are at first treated, like, real great. Because the Vanir think that Hainir is, like, this advice-giving genius.
Right.
What they don't notice is that Hainir is only an advice-giving genius when Mimir is with him.
Yeah.
After one too many times of Hainir being like, I don't know, ask me later. They're like, fuck you, we got the bum end of this deal, and decapitate Mimir for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
And send his head back to the Aesir. Odin is understandably distraught and enchants the fuck out of Mimir's head so that it can continue to give him hella good advice forever.
Yep.
And that's a whole thing.
The head's kept alive.
Yes. So we finally get to Kvasir.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Sort of.
After all of this war and death,
right.
The Aesir and the Vanir meet for a thing, essentially. It's like a Norse meeting. It's called a thing. Or a ping, or a ding, depending on where you are in that
and
region of the world.
How you translate that yes. fucking character.
I like to go with a thing, because it's
funny.
Much funnier.
I usually read Thorn as a th, so.
Yes, me too. So, yeah, so they meet for a thing, which is an assembly. It's basically all of the people get together, it's, you know, a feast, they are talking about whatever issues they have. It's meant to be, like, almost like a council.
Yeah.
Essentially. So, they meet for a thing. When they finally, and that's where they finally come to terms with, like, the Aesir-Vanir War and, like, are like, okay, we need to fucking stop all of this fighting because it is literally pointless.
Yeah.
And it's just causing way too much fucking stress. We're done. We're done, right? We're done? Okay. Mm-hmm. And they seal the truce by agreeing to chew up some berries, various types of berries, it varies from story to story, and spit it into this, like, vat. I go with vat because it's, like, a big cup.
Gross.
And this is literally where Kvasir comes from. Because he is mm-hmm. a being, like, they ferment the berries. Once the berries are finished fermenting with the spit of the Aesir and the Vanir, mm-hmm. it creates this being. Like, he's born of spit and berries. He's literally made of spit and alcohol. His name, Kvasir, literally means fermented berry juice.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite things because it's like he's literally made of spit and alcohol, which really, honestly, if you're going to be an epic, like, advice giver and or poet, like...
Yeah, because he's, like, a big deal poet.
Yeah, that's what you are. You're made of spit and alcohol.
I mean, same.
Kvasir was regularly considered the wisest of all beings.
Yes.
It's not just that he was poetic or, like, mm-hmm. you know, eloquent in the way he spoke. He had a literal answer for everything.
Yeah, Kvasir was the bomb.
Yeah, you could ask him, why is the sky blue? And he would have an actual fucking explanation for you.
Yeah.
How do I turn iron into gold? He probably would have been able to figure that out too, because he had an answer for everything. Because he has so much knowledge, he gets super tired of being in, like, one place and decides to become a rambling advice dispensary and takes the show on the road, giving out answers to life's tricky questions. So, to touch on your story earlier, with the death of Baldur, Kvasir is actually the one who figures out how to catch Loki after the death of Baldur. Because mm-hmm. Loki fucks off to his mountain hideaway that has four entrances, I'm assuming in the four cardinal directions.
Oh, yeah, I'm assuming.
It's not, like, clear.
That's usually what it is.
But I assume.
It's usually what it is.
So that he can keep an eye out for the Aesir that are chasing him. He decides to hide in this waterfall, and he, like, during the day. So he's hiding out as a salmon during the day and then coming back to his hideout at night.
Sure.
And he's trying to figure out how to avoid being caught by the rest of the Aesir.
And, who are pissed.
Yeah, who are fucking pissed. Because Baldur's dead and they don't like that.
Yeah.
So he takes a second and he tries to figure out what the gods might craft to catch him. And creates the first net. Like, he takes some linen strips and, like, knots them together in, like, little diamond shape. And, like,
Kvasir?
Is like, no, Loki. And is like, oh shit, a net, basically. He hears or senses the Aesir coming. Like, they're not clear on how he knows exactly when they're about to get on him. So he hears him, sees him coming, some shit like that, and tosses the net on the fire and, like, runs off to the river and jumps in all salmon-y, right?
Sure.
So the Aesir get to the mountain lodge and are like, what the fuck, Loki? Kvasir sees the outline of the net in the fire and immediately is like, oh, net, cool. And is like, this thing is clearly meant to catch fish. Let's try that river with the waterfall over there that's very obscuring and see what happens. So they craft another net, and they go up to the waterfall, and they flush Loki out of the river, and they catch him in the fucking net. And then he's, like, full-size Loki in this fucking, net, and that's a hilarious picture in my head.
That is a hilarious picture
just,
in my head.
Because it's just, like, full-size Loki stuck in net, just like, God fucking damn it.
Like, yeah. It's like, oh, this didn't go well.
Yes. So, in the greatest of ironies, they catch him in a thing that he specifically invented to not get caught in.
Yep.
And that's why Kvasir was the man, because he would literally walk into a situation and be like, this is the answer, clearly. Although, I kind of imagine that would get annoying eventually.
Yeah.
Like...
Smartass.
Probably why he had to go on, like, the traveling route, because people were like, I can't fucking take you for this
long. Get that you're always fucking right, but calm the fuck down, dude.
Yeah,
It's like, I know, man, I'm not trying.
Yeah, he's like, I can't help it. Like, I just know things. Like, it's my fucking godly power, like...
Yeah, that's, like, my whole thing, is that I know shit.
Just gotta have to put up with it. So, here comes the murder part.
Oh!
Yeah. So, he's wandering down the road, hanging out, and he sees these two dwarves. And these are not, like, Lord of the Ring dwarves or Snow White dwarves. These are, like... nasty, tricky, bad Norse mythology dwarves.
Oh, are they the fucking brothers?
Yes.
Those bitches.
Their names are Fjallar, which means deceiver,
mm-hmm.
and Galar, which means screamer.
Fjallar and Galar?
Fjallar and Galar. So FJ. Fjallar.
Fjallar.
Mm-hmm.
And Galar.
Yes.
G.
Yes. So, you know, super trustworthy types, right? Like...
totes. 100- yeah, I trust
that. I kind
that.
Of... have this, like, equivalent... I keep referencing fucking Disney's Hercules because it's got some good archetypical character references in there.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Pain and Panic.
Oh, yeah, you know? That's fair. I'm just imagining, like, seedy New Jersey used car salesman.
Yes, but also, like, the reason I bring it up is because Phobos and Deimos, right?
Yeah.
Pain and Panic. They do the thing. They're tricky. They're tricky little fucking weird demons.
They're tricky little shitlords.
And that's kind of what Fjallar and Galar are. They're, like, tricky little shitlords. That's literally what they are.
Yes, they are.
And they are like, oh, my God, Kvasir. Good thing you're coming by. We have so many questions and so many fucking problems that we need you to solve. Hey, come step into our questionable fucking cave over here in the shadows.
Come step into our definitely not a murder cave.
Exactly. And let's talk about some questions, my dude.
And definitely not murder anybody.
And he goes, because that's like his whole purpose of life, is to answer questions, because, you know.
Because he's good and pure.
Exactly. So he's like, yeah, sure, for sure, I'll answer your questions. Let's absolutely go. And they murder the fuck out of him there.
Yeah.
Like, of course, because,
it's
like,
real bad.
At any point in the setup, did you think he was not going to die? Like, yeah. He's definitely going to die. He's, I literally said, here comes the murder part. Like, he did. But
he was not genre savvy.
But that is not the fucked up part of his death.
No, it is not.
So Fjallar and Galar drain him of his blood. Like, completely, it's like, clip, upside down, like a fucking, like a beheaded
fucking
chicken.
Like a fucking hog.
Yeah. And they contain it, they get into these three containers, and they tell the Aesir and the Vanir that Kvasir had suffered from an excess of wisdom, or in some other versions of the story, they literally say that his wisdom choked him. Like, he choked to death on his own smart-ass answers.
All I can think of is Rogue One, don't choke on your ambitions.
Literally. So, yeah, these fucking dwarves are just like, yeah, like, he
dicks.
Choked to death on his fucking answers.
He was
whatever.
Too much of a talky bitch, and he choked to death on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So, the gods are like, eh, essentially,
reasonable.
Because seems reasonable. And the dwarves then take his blood and turn it into a mead by mixing it with honey, which I know sounds disgusting. Like, absolutely disgusting. But this creates the mead of poetry.
I get that, but it's also going to taste like pennies dipped in honey.
Yeah, but whatever. Well, we don't know, because remember, Kvasir was made of berries.
Yeah.
So it could literally just taste like juice.
It just tastes like, that's not better.
I mean, conceptually, no, but, like, literally, if you had to drink it, it is.
Yeah, I've actually had berry mead, and it's delicious. It's just, like, conceptually, this is wigging.
Mm-hmm.
Wigging me out.
I like to think that it tastes like a berry mead, because I like berry mead. I actually have a bottle up there of the Viking blood.
Ooh, nice.
And every time I drink it, I think
of... Do you think of Kvasir?
I do. And I'm like, because it's a super high alcohol content.
Mead of Kvasir over here.
Yes. So, you know, they always say that, when you drink, you're more honest.
Yeah.
Or you're... And some people...
You're more eloquent.
You can be more eloquent until you get too drunk, in which case it goes a little bit in the other direction. But, like, it's this beautiful, like, gold-colored mead, and you just, like, pour it out, and you're like, cool, this is amazing. And then every time I think of Kvasir, I'm like, slightly less amazing, but still delicious.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
Yes. But, anyway. So, they put it in these containers, and they make it into mead by mixing it with honey, and that's the mead of poetry. The mead of poetry gives anyone who drinks it the abilities of Kvasir, turning them into a grade A poet or a scholar, because it basically gives them the answers to everything and gives them the ability to write epic poetry, essentially.
Hmm.
And it's really cool, which leads to a whole lot of problems later with the mead of poetry, because everybody's fucking fighting for it. Odin goes on his own adventure, which is a whole other story that we might cover, so I'm not going to go too far into it, with some giants to steal the remnants of Kvasir's, of the mead of poetry.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a whole thing. And it's not for any good reasons. It's literally because Odin's like, I want all the answers forever.
Odin always wants to know everything. That's just kind of him. That's why he hung himself on a tree for 9 days.
Like a fucking weirdo.
To learn magic!
Like a fucking weirdo. Anyway. Also, why he gave up an eye.
Yeah.
Like,
again, to learn magic and have a better understanding of the world.
So, Odin's goal in life is to just be the guy with everything. Kind of like if you ever play, like, a video game, like a co-op video game with people, and there's that one guy who clearly has cheat codes and or too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, is just decked out in all of the fucking armor. And you're like, fuck you, dude. Like, that's cheating. It should be cheating. That's Odin.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's what it is. It's Odin, man.
So,
there's a reason he's in charge.
Pop culture! I like it. So, in our pop culture break,
mm-hmm.
In Norway, they have a search engine, like an internet search engine, called Kvasir. Because he has the answers for everything.
That's so good.
I was like, that's much better than Google, but it's fine.
That's delightful.
Also, a thing that I have to find now.
Mm-hmm.
Dogfish Head Brewery.
Oh, good.
Makes one of their ancient ales, and it is called Kvasir. It's like Kvasir's ale or something like that. Like
a Kvasir's
beer. And it's based off of this ancient Scandinavian beer that they've recreated.
I love that shit.
And they've named it after Kvasir. And I'm like, now I'm like, I have to find it because my other favorite beer is the Midas Touch from Dogfish Head Brewery, which I think is great and I love it so much. And
history and
difficult to find, but cool because they do that one. The Kvasir one apparently and the Theobroma and like a couple other ones that are all like
historical recipes.
Like literally scraping fucking residue from amphorae and containers and
doing chemical spectra analysis.
Exactly, and creating beers based on the results. And that shit's super cool on like so many different levels.
As an anthropology major, that's really fucking neat.
As a super nerd, regardless for just science and history, I'm just like, that's fucking amazing. And like, I've had, so the Midas Touch, which is my favorite, I love it a lot, but people find it weird because it's cloudy.
Yeah.
Because they brew it
it's
as close
like filtered
to the,
or shit.
Yes. They brew it as close to the original as they can, but still make it drinkable because instead of it being like a sludge, it's still like a golden ale. But it's not filtered, so it's like cloudy. And people are like, that's weird. And I'm like, it's delicious.
It's historical.
The cloud is where the taste is. Also, the character of Dr. Kvasir from the 2011 video game Rage is a character based on him because the character is supposed to be super intelligent and like a scientist, and they're like Kvasir because he knows everything.
It sounds sci-fi.
Yes, and also, of course, as we talked about, as we will talk about continually because it happens all the time, Rick Riordan uses Kvasir's mead as a major point in his Magnus Chase books because there's a flighting that has to happen, which, hey.
Wow.
Hello.
Wow.
Part of why we chose the name for our podcast.
Also puns.
And also, yes. But, yes, it's a flighting that has to happen, and it's the main character against Loki, and Loki is the, you know, master flighter, I guess. And the character has to find the mead of poetry, Kvasir's mead, to beat
compete.
Loki. To even compete. Not even to beat Loki. To even be able to even have a dream of standing up against Loki.
Yes.
To possibly win a flighting.
Yeah. And that's a whole, that's the big quest of the third book.
Yes. And, sorry, spoilers, I guess.
Sorry.
Spoiler alert!
There's a lot that goes on, but that is, like, the big thing that goes on in the last book. Is,
yeah, I'm not gonna tell you if he beats him or not, but, like, he tries.
He certainly gives it the good old college try.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a whole thing. But the whole quest to get the mead is also an echo of Odin's quest to retrieve Kvasir's mead
from
the giants in the original story of retrieving Kvasir's mead. And it's really cool because it's good as a story in a book with new characters, but like if you know the original story, you're like, oh obviously this is where this is going. And it's really cool. Again, I don't care how old you are, seriously, give Rick Riordan books a chance.
Also, you know, he is a professional scholar on Greek, Egyptian, and Norse mythology, so that's why
he
wrote all these books.
Go ahead, give those a try. They're really good.
They're amazing.
Because
they have so much good representation for queer and otherwise non-straight identities.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, especially in Magnus Chase. I was going to say Alex Fierro is the
is
best.
Gender fluid. She tends to prefer she pronouns, but it's generally...
Well, she goes...
She goes back and forth. She doesn't like they, remember?
Well, that's true, but she goes back and forth because she will switch, like...
She will
switch. And apparently it's very noticeable, like, where you have to... Yeah, it's a feel. So she goes from she to he, and, like,
doesn't
or
like
he
they,
to she,
though.
But she doesn't like they.
She tends to be femme more than mask, so she tends to use she pronouns, but it's very much a situational...
Yeah.
But yeah, she's an amazing genderqueer Latina.
Yes. With some incredible talents.
Is she Latina or is she Hispanic? Latina, I think.
Latina, I think. They're not very clear, honestly.
I think it's like mixed.
No. I lied. She's Mexican. She's Mexican.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Latina.
Latina. Yeah.
And she's
got actual Hispanic. Okay, so like, okay, for me, I hate the term Hispanidad. Like,
that's
don't like it. It's a terrible, terrible term.
Okay.
Because it's
I
based
don't
on a shitty fucking Ronald Reagan.
Oh, light him on fire.
Taking the term for the island of Hispaniola, created this term of Hispanic.
Yeah.
Meaning Spanish people from the Caribbean. However,
meaning people who are of Spanish descent.
Yes, Spanish people from the Caribbean.
Not necessarily of the Caribbean.
No.
Hispanic.
It was specifically referencing Spanish people from the Caribbean. Oh. Like, it's Hispanic.
Even worse. Jesus fucking Christ,
and
Ronald
I
Reagan.
Mean, like, fair. Cool, history okay, lesson. Like...
History lesson.
Yes. Fair, cool, okay, Hispaniola does have a large Spanish population, because that's Haiti and the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
However, as a Puerto Rican, or as my friends who are Cuban, or anything like that, we're not Hispanic. We're Latin. We're Latins. Latino, Latinx, whatever you want to use for that term. The preferable term.
Okay.
Nobody really cares for Hispanic. Like, we'll use it on occasion because it's just a word that's come into the cultural lexicon.
But
it's not the preferred term.
Yeah. Okay, I know. Now I know. Sorry about that.
Yeah. It's
not something that comes up very often.
Yes, it's a bugbear for me.
No,
like, it's one of those things where it's just like,
I get that. I mean, like, I have those for, I mean, you've heard my rant on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I'm Hispanic. I'm not Hispanic. I'm Latina.
Yeah.
Like.
But yes, Alex Fierro is also Latina.
Yes.
And has bright green and pink hair.
And is amazing.
And is gender fluid and fantastic.
And cuts people's heads off with her garrote, which is super cool.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, no, back to my original point. Read some Rick Riordan.
Read Rick Riordan.
It's pretty great. Like, even his, like, so the Percy Jackson series is ostensibly for children, but I feel like the Heroes of Olympus and the Magnus Chase series and stuff like that deal with a lot heavier issues and are good
Magnus
for
Magnus Chase older. Really deals with a lot of interesting stuff. And once you get further into, like, Trials of Apollo gets real heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, he's understanding and growing with his audience, as it were.
The weakest of the series is probably the Cain Chronicles, but even those are pretty good.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But yeah, all of them are good. You don't need to read the Percy Jackson series to understand others, but it helps.
I recommend reading the Percy Jackson series for the Lost Hero series. It kind of
also, I mean, the Percy Jackson series is a pretty quick read because it's not it's not complicated in its language.
Yes.
It's an interesting and complicated storyline with a lot of concepts.
And it is a good refresher for Greek mythology.
Yeah, also that.
Like, 100%.
Also, though, shout out to Rick Riordan for low-key sliding all this queer shit into Disney Hyperion, and now they can't get rid of him, and he's like, yes, you're getting all the queers.
Everybody's gay. Congratulations.
Everyone's gay. Everyone's queer. We're here for it.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate all this representation.
Honestly.
And normalizing it and not talking about it. Apollo's bisexual, canon text.
Well,
it.
I mean,
we already knew that from
bisexual,
mythology.
It's fine.
He's queer as fuck, and I love
Apollo just appreciates pretty wherever Apollo sees pretty. And that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Live your life.
Live your life, Apollo.
Same.
Yeah. Like.
Live your life, bitches.
Yeah.
But yes. If you like queer representation in mythology, read Rick Riordan.
It's there. It's like.
It's there. It's not subtle. It's amazing.
Also, the book, Circe.
I haven't read that
I'm going to give it to you today because I forgot last time to actually hand it to you. But yes.
Because we've been busy.
It real good. Excellent, excellent version of that story in which Circe is an actual character with actual motivation rather than just an evil person.
Step on me, hot evil lady?
Yes. Pretty much. But, like, there's actual motivation behind it because it goes into her history as a character and as a person
she's
in mythology.
Got a lot.
Because she's, again, one of Oceanus's 3,000 nymph daughters.
3,000 fucking daughters.
It's a long fucking time.
I'm still not over it.
We're gonna reference this a lot.
I feel like that's gonna be, like, a meme. Like, long was it? About $3,000.
$3,000.
$3,000. Oh, was it that long? Okay, maybe it was, like, $1,000 long.
It's probably gonna be our first t-shirt.
$3,000. $3,000 long.
Yeah.
How long is it from A to B? About $3,000.
Exactly. I'm okay with it.
That's good.
Anyway.
All right.
Let's wrap this bitch up.
On that note, let's wrap this bitch up. Yeah, for sure. All right. Thanks for listening to Flight's Fancy.
Woohoo.
We're happy to have you here. You can find us on pretty much any podcasting platform you like to listen to. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. Please, if you like us, subscribe, rate, and review.
Please do. It helps our metrics incredibly.
Yes. Reviews make such a huge difference. Please recommend us to your friends. please leave us nice reviews, say nice things. If you want to leave mean reviews, just send them in an email so we can cry about them privately.
Yeah, I don't want to be sobbing on my Facebook page. Like, just I'll take mean.
You can also, that's another thing, you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Flights of Fancy. Let's see. If you want to contact us, suggest stories, send fun emails, anything like that, you can reach out to us. Oh, are we selfieing?
I'm just taking a big picture of the podcast tent with us in it. podcast tent, sorry.
If you have any comments, corrections, things that you think we missed or didn't mention, pronounced wrong, said wrong, misunderstood.
I'm sure we're going to say a lot of things wrong.
We know. We understand.
You can tell us so that we can say it right the next time. But, like, just know we know.
We know. We embrace. Yeah! We embrace being incorrect. It's fine. But if you have any corrections, any stories you want to suggest to us, or places to find more information on stories, because there are plenty of non-classical, non-Western stories we may not be as super up on. So if you want to have us talk about those, send us information. We love to learn more about non-classical, non-Western mythology, because, you know, it's also interesting and valid and white people. Mm-hmm. Please, please feel free to reach out to us at flightsoffancy@gmail.com. Like I said, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, not Tumblr. Tumblr's dead. They killed it when they took away the porn.
Yeah, honestly.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yes.
Anything else?
Please, like we said, just leave us a comment. I just like to hear things. I want to hear reviews of the show. Please, like, what do you think we sound like?
Leave us comments. Let us send us messages on Facebook.
We're very into this whole
DMs
thing
because
we're having a good time.
We're having a fun time. It's great.
We're drinking and sitting in a podcast tent. So, like, really, honestly, like,
we're literally in a blanket fort.
I just posted a picture to our Facebook page.
Oh, good.
Of us in the podcast tent, so that, you know, people can, when we are like podcast tent, they know what we mean.
They
it's
know
literally
it's
a blanket
literally
fort of
a blanket
joy.
Fort.
It's fluffy in here.
It is fluffy and warm. Hold on. I need to take a picture for our Insta.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get better about posting things.
Yeah, we all do. That's why I did it just now, because I was like, hey.
Anything else you can think of?
No. Yeah.
Please love us. Please
like,
show
review,
us love.
Share.
Say nice things. We're sensitive and sad.
Yeah. Enjoy.
We're drunk millennials.
Enjoy our story, and for sure, give us some recommendations, because it's really hard to try and pick a story that's going to be appealing to everybody.
Yes.
And not just that. I also, everybody needs help remembering our intersectionality and just, you know, like making sure that we hit a lot of different mythologies.
Absolutely.
And it's difficult to pick, you know, foreign mythologies when you don't know the importance of the story. So if anybody wants to drop us a line about something that's near and dear to their heart, like, for sure.
Please do.
Do that.
We love it. We love this shit.
Amen.
I'm going to finish this champagne. Something else that came into my mind and I can't remember it now. On that note, I guess we should fucking end this before it keeps going.
Well, bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
We're happy to have you, and you'll hear from us again soon enough. Goodbye.
Goodbye.